Thank you, but we may have some for you later. Mr. Burton?
Of the other eight, of these
residential programs,
right,
yes.
Are all of them this size?
They are growing. Many of them are in their first stages. National has been operating at this size. However, their maximum is usually around 40 teens. I rarely see having 24 males and 24 females, but we would like to provide space available for that.
Is there, there's a lot of farmland left. I mean, is it a desire to grow this to a 48 or to keep expanding?
Above 48?
Above 48?
No. There is no desire for that.
So this would be the maximum?
Yes, and we feel that will meet the needs that are out there.
Are there? You mentioned that there were other schools in Sussex County that were out in the rural areas. Are any of them residential at this point?
Cedars Academy is.
Cedar Academy.
Say it louder, please.
Cedars Academy is residential.
How old's a teenager?
When Mr. Lank read, I believe he said 13 to 16. However, this program is 13 through 17. Once a student turns 18, they then can, if they want to finish the program, since they are no longer, they are an adult at that point, they may finish the program that they're in. But the typical age is 13 to 17.
There would be no younger than 13.
We will have to look case to case. The youngest would be 12, but most of them would be 13 to 18. It would have to be a case that we felt where the 12-year-old was mature enough to be residing with 13 to 17-year-olds.
Okay. Getting back to Mr. Johnson's question on the education, if the length of stay is 7 to 14 months,
yes.
I'm in grade X. Everybody else advances. So you're going to test into that? Is that how
Yes,
that
the
works?
Students must test when they come to see where they are. We determine grade level. And they can continue. Some of the students may even graduate from high school through this program. And during that time, they can progress.
And that would be accepted by the state of Delaware? Their progression in your program would be accepted?
I will verify that, but since it is a national accredited program, I'm quite certain that it will.
Okay. Mr. Christianberry, you mentioned that there's a subdivision, that the school is on one parcel and then the dormitories are on the other parcel. What is the reason for that?
The reason is largely to accommodate the wastewater. Each of these septic systems for 2,500 gallons per day is permitted under standard regulations to have one LPP system for the entire facility would be very costly. So, and DENRAC has approved this approach with the site evaluation approvals that we already have. It's a minor subdivision. There's no road construction or public hearing that's involved.
But why does it have to be subdivided?
To have two separate septic systems, one for the cafeteria and one for the residential area.
They don't have a variance process that would eliminate that need?
No, not that I'm aware of.
They typically, in other situations, may allow two houses on one septic, so I would think there could be two septic serving one project.
It can be done with a single septic, but it becomes much more cost prohibitive when you get over 2,500 gallons per day.
If they can do that, why shouldn't they be allowed to have two septic-type systems serving one project? Because it's multiple buildings, different locations.
A minor subdivision seemed like a simple way to work within the regulations without having to ask for a variance. Each lot has more than 150-foot of frontage.
Further questions? All right, sir. Well, Mr. Lang? But you're on a roll.
Well, I was just curious. The based on all the letters we received in opposition and the petition that we received in opposition, has there been any effort to try to meet with the community before you proceeded with the application?
Yes, on December 30th, 2005, before anything was progressed with Shiloh House of Hope, before we even had our nonprofit status in January of 2006, we had a gathering at Lori Ryder's home where all of the neighbors were invited. We shared with them what Shiloh House of Hope was, and there were a little over 30 in attendance.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Counts.
I apologize for, I hope I'm not going to repeat something. It's not my intent, but I want to make sure we get a couple things in the land use record.
Mr. Counts, if you could turn your mic off.
Sorry. Used to have one. Going back to the point just a couple minutes ago about the separate lots for septic systems, does that also mean that you'll need separate wells for each, one for each parcel?
Yeah, there'd be one well on each parcel, one for the residential and one for the cafeteria and admin building.
And these will be public wells under the state
program? Yeah, we'd have to get a standard
and
permit.
And they'll need to have a... The reason I raise the issue is they'll need to have a wellhead protection area to protect the well, and just want to make sure you allowed for that in your layout and your sizing of the development on each parcel. Secondly, according to the information you've given, this is in a flood zone. Part of it is in a flood zone, but... And I realize these are just renderings, but it doesn't look like there's any consideration for the flood zone for the school building and the administration building. It looks like they're just flat slabs on the ground.
The flood zone is a zone A,
okay,
which is an approximate floodplain zone. I asked Ms. Ryder if during the June of 2006 storm that blew out a bridge in Seaford, if the tax ditch on her property flooded out the ag field, and she said it hadn't. However, legally, a floodplain exists on the property. A letter of map revision would have to be prepared and filed with the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And if they, if the flood map revision determines that the floodplain is in that location, then either we would have to get a permit to fill it, or if it were within a floodway, which is highly unlikely, we would be denied permission to fill it.
Okay, I just want to make sure there was some consideration for that.
Sure, that's why we indicated it on the site plan. It will require a LOMAR in order to proceed.
And again, I apologize if I missed it. The location of the cafeteria?
The school building
is a part of the school building?
We'll have the cafeteria within it. Okay. So you'll have classrooms and cafeteria facilities in one building.
That makes sense.
On the same parcel with the administrative property.
The last thing, I haven't heard any discussion about response time for police, EMS, fire, the accessibility for that,
sure.
Consideration for that.
Well,
who would be the responders and how far away are they?
The Sussex County has three state police barracks, one located in Lewis, one located in Georgetown, and one located in Bridgeville, very near the property. If you were to consider putting this facility, if that were an issue, in Laurel, Gumborough...
Excuse me, Mr. Christenberry. Folks, don't make me do this again. I understand. You may not agree with what the man's saying, and every one of you are going to get a chance to stand up here and tell us so when it's your turn. Right now, it's his turn. Now, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Bridgeville State Police Barracks is within 10 miles of the site. If you were to consider the entire southwest corner of Sussex County, you would double or triple that distance very easily.
What about fire and EMS?
I haven't checked with the town of Bridgeville, but I believe that they have
7 miles.
7 miles from Bridgeville Fire Department.
And that includes EMS?
Okay. Yes, it does.
That's all the questions I have.
Is that it? Okay. Mr. Robertson.
At this point, I don't have any questions.
Okay.
I want to ask one question because it came up in many of the letters that we received, and I think it's a valid point. My parents, the whole time I was growing up, never locked a door. The kids, my brothers and I all left, they still didn't lock any doors. My father died, we couldn't find the key to lock the door when my mother was there by herself. Okay, so it's an issue, okay, for folks. They are concerned about the runaway issue. So let's hear about that. I'd like to know what the incidence of runaway is at the other facilities, and have there been crimes committed during runaways? You know, these folks have a legitimate concern here. I would like for you to address it.
Yes, that is a legitimate concern. There have been some teens trying to get away from the program. However, as Orlando states, no neighbors have ever been affected. No crimes have been committed. Once a teen runs, most of the time, they are trying to see a boyfriend or a girlfriend that they're missing while they are in the program. If a teen chooses to try to run and is successful, the police will immediately be called in that situation, and then we will contact the parents as well.
How often does it actually happen at the other places? Do you have any idea?
I don't know, a per month or per year.
Okay, just wondering. Okay, that's all.
Question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Will these teenagers be staying there voluntarily, or are we talking about court commitments, or?
There are no court commitments.
So if the child says, I don't want to be in your program, I want out, what happens?
Most of them, because they are underage, in the very beginning, some want to be there, some don't. But the parents are the ones that, you know, turn the custody over and are a part of the program. But within a couple of weeks, the teen realizes that they are receiving healing and that what they were looking for was not found in the roads that they were traveling through drugs, sex, alcohol, self-mutilation, and are really inside searching for that help that can be found.
Would you define for myself and the other commission members, what do you mean by custody? Is it, were you talking about legal custody, or are we talking about parental permission?
Parental permission. They sign a contract stating that they are signing over their teen.
So we're not talking about going to the family court and having a...
Correct. Yes.
A copy of that contract is included in your manual.
Yes. The parent responsibilities, the intake procedure is all in the binder.
Okay. Thank you.
No further questions from me, Mr. Chairman?
All our answer. All right, folks, we thank you. If we would take a seat, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. That undoubtedly is the understatement of the evening. All right, is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1702 Shiloh House of Hope? Okay, right up here in the front. Young lady, need your name and address, and then you may have the floor.
Okay, my name's Maxine Elmine, and I'm a resident of Millsboro.
Can everybody hear her okay? Okay, you keep right on going.
All right. Okay, well, I participated in Shiloh House of Hope's counseling sessions this year, and I'd like to present an essay that I wrote in favor of their program. The average teenager takes on more adversity in our world than most give them credit for. Teenage years are a crucial period of time when people of all types are being pressured with sex, drugs, and a number of other negative alternatives. In fact, every 100 minutes, another teenager will commit suicide. Shiloh House of Hope's noble cause is to help these hurting teens survive and live a life of purpose. I was one of those lost teens, but thanks to Shiloh House of Hope, I've overcome quite a few conflicts and become an overall better person. First of all, I was always known to be a rather well-behaved kid. I wasn't into drugs, I never had a detention, and I'm even in a few advanced classes at school. However, somewhere along the line, I began to stray. I'd gotten into some difficult areas in life. This caused me to develop bad habits such as slacking off in school, and instead of parents, I turned to reckless friends and made wrong decisions. The chain of poor choices eventually led to larger issues like running away from home, slipping into depression, and walking the road to a harmful life. Then my mother found out about Shiloh House of Hope. At first, I was reluctant to go, thinking it was going to be another one of those long, boring, emotional string of awkward counseling sessions. However, counselors there made me feel much more welcome. They all seemed to have their own testimony and story, so I felt that they could really understand me. The group counseling sessions probably helped the most because they allowed me to relate to other teens that were experiencing similar problems. To tell the truth, the greatest difference I saw was the presence of God. Being a former atheist, I wasn't so open to the idea of accepting Christianity. But anyone who has gone to meetings there can answer without question that God has a handful of gracious people there. Needless to say, Shiloh House of Hope, through their kindness, compassion, and the grace of God, led me to Christianity and a whole new way of life. I've moved back in with my mom after months of being in less suitable conditions at my father's house. My grades in school have gone back up, and I'm living my whole life as I should. And I know it wouldn't be this way if it weren't for Shiloh's help. I'd love to see Shiloh progress in the future. They've changed my life for the better, and their intentions are good. It would be great to see other teenagers and parents find God and learn how to live a positive, meaningful life. I'm forever grateful for all the help I've received, as are my mother and the rest of my family. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else like? No, no applause. No applause. We don't allow it. Yes, ma'am. You're next. It's your name and address, and you may have the floor.
My name is Rebecca. May I withdraw my last name because my son goes to the program for his safety? Or should I list my last name?
Of course. Go ahead.
Go ahead, your last name, please.
No, she can't go. She was asking not to give her last name, so for confidentiality
reasons. I do live in Seaford, Delaware. Thank you, gentlemen, for giving me the opportunity to speak here tonight. If someone would have told me that April 12, 2007 was going to be the start of something good for our family, I would have called that person a liar. You see, as a wife and mother, it felt on that day as though my whole world was falling apart. I had discovered that day that my eldest son had an addiction to internet pornography. It didn't begin the previous summer. It all started due to the choice I made to marry for the first time, a man who I later discovered was addicted to pornography, among other things. I left that situation. But it did not stop my ex-husband to start the addictive process and our own son by showing our child pornography when he was only 4 years old. My son did not consciously decide at 4 years old to view this garbage. It was the decision made for him by someone else who did not look out for his welfare. That, unfortunately, is how many addictions seem to begin. By the time that my current husband and I found out about this latest bout with pornography addiction, we had already been to see psychiatrists with my son. We'd been through the court system regarding this problem 2 times to no avail, and we felt as though we were running out of hope to get the proper help for my son. Then, following a ministerial meeting in which my husband participated, he came home and excitedly told about a place that may be able to help my son in his addiction to pornography, Shiloh House of Hope. He showed me a brochure, and after talking to Mrs. Robin Sturgeon, I felt that we should give that a try. I'm so thankful we have. I have seen lives changed there. I have seen a family on the verge of giving up on their daughter, able to embrace and welcome her home. I've seen the changed countenance of this girl, as well as the changed countenance of a young man who is dealing with drug issues. He has no desire whatsoever to participate in drug usage anymore. I've seen changes in my own son, as well as myself, as we heal as an entire family. I've personally seen parents changed at Shiloh House of Hope as well, because as part of the program, we parents must attend 2-hour weekly sessions to help them deal with the hurt, anger, and sense of failure that are associated with a child facing the unique challenges that our children face today. I've seen a mother crying for her child and wondering if he were ever going to change, to come back a few weeks later following the counseling sessions that the families need to go through, smiling and seeing honest changes in her child. None of these families are from the dregs of society who attend Shiloh House of Hope. My son has never committed a crime, nor has he ever been arrested for anything. We who attend and require help from Shiloh House of Hope could be anyone you know, who give readily back to the community. We are pastors, business owners, farmers, homemakers. We've worked in your local retail businesses. We've helped heal physical wounds of others. Someday, and some may even be your county legislator, someday. If our children had broken a bone, we would take them to the hospital where they would get the help they needed, because we would not be able to set the bone ourselves. So that being said, we have children who have emotional needs that we cannot fix in and of ourselves. And we need to go to a place where our families, our whole entire families, get healed of the wounds associated with addiction of any sort. And Shiloh House of Hope has become that place for us. In this global society, addiction is only a mouse click away, no matter where we live in Sussex County. I humbly ask that Shiloh House of Hope be given a chance to operate to its full capacity. I firmly believe that anyone who has a child in a crisis situation, willing to make the changes necessary to help healing to come to the whole family, will find real hope that will change lives, as well as communities. And that will happen for the better at Shiloh House of Hope. I truly believe that broken families beget broken communities. Whole and well families beget whole and well communities. I ask you to please allow Shiloh House of Hope to become the place of healing that it is truly meant to be. I thank you very much for all of your time.
Okay, we thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Yes, sir.
My name is Reverend Roger Wood. I run a Christian faith-based program in Milford, Delaware. I've been running it for almost 10 years, and I'm here to support this work that they want to do here at the House of Hope. Myself, 14 years ago, tried to commit suicide from drugs and alcohol, and I can testify by the power and the love of God had changed my life. And He put me into a position where I want to go help others. And over almost 10 years ago, we was working on trying to start a home in Milford. And I have a letter here from the city manager, if I'm allowed to present it.
You may.
No? Okay. As you see in the letter here that from the city manager of Milford, Richard Carmine, states that the whole time we had been here in Milford for 10 years as a residential drug and alcohol treatment program, that they've never had any incidents, any problems. If this House of Hope follows the rules, regulations, and follow what they say they will do by these residents, I don't see where they would have a problem. Our home is right in the middle of town, you can say. It's right downtown, and we have neighbors all around. And yes, at the beginning, they did not like what we were trying to do here, but as they've seen after we've been there almost 10 years, there's not a problem with this. We work, God's Way to Recovery, work with state agencies, we work with the courts, work with SCI. We have even inmates that come into the home, and so far we've had no incidents. And I just wanted to stand up here tonight and give him my support that I believe that this would be a great asset to the community, because if we can have a place like this to take the teenagers in, take them in at this age, then maybe it would make my job a little bit easier, because I work with them from 18 to 70. I had a 7-year-old man in my home about 2 months ago with addiction problem. So I get him from 18 to 70. And it would be a lot easier on me, but there is a definite need for this. So I just want to give you my support for this. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyone else like to speak in favor? All the way in the back. Yes, sir. You in the light green shirt, come up and give us your name and address, and you may have the floor.
Good evening. First of all, I'd like to say on behalf.
Oh, you got to tell us your name.
Greg Jackson. Okay. I'm the men's basketball coach at Delaware State University.
Okay.
And it's a great honor for me to be here. I've been in this state for 8 years, and this is the first time that I've been down in Georgetown. And I can see where it could be some concern about Shiloh House of Hope, because this is a very tight group neighborhood, and I'm very fortunate to be in Delaware. And coming here 8 years ago, one Saturday morning, I woke up and looked out my back window, and I saw my wife fall dead of a brain aneurysm. Now, I'm in charge of coaching and teaching young men. My son was diagnosed with sickle cell disease at an early age, had a bone marrow transplant 2 years ago. My son is free of sickle cell disease. I needed to find somebody in this state. I go over and I coach basketball all over the country, go to all different states. I needed to find a group or organization or somebody to help direct young people. Shallow House of Hope came to our campus, and they're on our campus now doing workshops every Wednesday and Friday. I had two kids on my basketball team, and I've been coaching over 20 years, and I've never had an attitude problem with any kid that I've coached. And that's very rare when you talk about the kids that we have in today's society. At some point in time in this journey and this life that we live, we have to somewhat get out of our comfort zone. And God said we can just help somebody else along this journey, then our life and our living will not be in vain. I think if we can just jump on board with Shallow House and Hope to understand that our kids desperately need us. They need our help. Yes, this is a great neighborhood, but they need our help. I coach kids every day, and they're desperate, need some direction in their lives. And you'll find out by helping these kids, you'll be an asset to their life. And dealing with Shallow House of Hope, it's been a blessing for me. And to come down here in this community, it's been a blessing for me. To go through the storms and trials of my life and what I've endured in this journey, and to be a part of this state of Delaware, it's a blessing. I've been all over this country, and this is a great state, okay? This is a great state, and I promise you, I will do everything in my power to assist and help this state, help this community, jump on board with Shallow House of Hope to make sure that the kids that we bring in this community have some direction. Now, if we don't do anything about it, who will? At some point in time, have a caring heart. We ask God for three things. Number one is to have a caring heart to forgive people that do and say bad things against us. At what point in life are we going to stand up and help somebody and get out of our comfort zone and complain about something that's going to happen to you? If you just believe in God's word and trust in his promise and stand on his word and not be fearful of anybody, then you can help somebody. But if you're just concerned about your own comfort zone, it's hard to make a difference in somebody else's life. Let's use Georgetown. Because wherever I go, we play UCLA, USC, Alabama. When I go out there, I'm going to tell them about this little place called Georgetown. I'm going to make sure they understand and know about Georgetown. So I'm going to ask you, as support of Shallow House of Hope and what they're trying to do, be humble. Have a caring heart. And let's help these young people along this journey. May God bless you.
All right. Thank you. Yes, sir. Next.
My name is Levin Van Sant. I'm from 2445 Paradise Alley Road in Felton, Delaware. And I'm humbled after listening to some of these other speakers. I don't have anything to say that can match all that. I want to say that I am the lay leader. I'm in charge of the laity for all the Methodist churches in Kent and Sussex counties. I can tell you that the laity in Kent and Sussex counties have been sponsoring ministries like this ever since their inception. We've been sponsoring and helping ministries like God's Way to Recovery up in Milford. You heard Roger talk about that. You're right here in your own backyard, Barbara Carter, in the Way Home program. I know you've dealt with her in the past. And then, of course, over in Seaford, Delaware, the Seaford Mission. We've been sponsoring these, the Methodists have been sponsoring these folks shoulder to shoulder for years now, and we've never been disappointed. And we're anxious to get behind Shiloh House of Hope and help them. Now, I know you're sitting there and there's some people in the back and yourselves, you're saying, this guy's from Kent County. What's he got invested down here in Sussex? Well, let me tell you, I live on Paradise Alley, and a half a mile down the road from me is a house for recovering people that have mental problems. They work with them, and then they put them back out into it. They get them back on their feet and get them back out into society. 15 years ago, I was facing the same kind of thing everybody else here. Half a mile down the road, they could walk down to my place. They could get out anytime they wanted. I could have said, well, let it be somebody else's problem. Somebody has, they got to go someplace. Somebody's got to stand up and say, hey, listen, you know, go ahead and put your house here. You know? And that's what we did. The neighbors, nobody fought it. They've been there for 15 years. And if you didn't know that it was a recovery house, you never would have known it. Looks like every other house. You see them on the porch now and then, in the swing, and that's it. So all I can say is, on behalf of myself, I hope that you'll vote an affirmative for the Shiloh House of Hope. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay, we'll go over here. Now, as this gentleman's coming up, I want to remind everybody that we want everyone to have an opportunity to speak. However, if we start to get repetitive, we're gonna have to cut you a little bit short here, because we've got a whole other group of people that have been waiting very patiently to speak. And so I'm hoping you're going to tell us something different than we've heard.
Yeah, my name's Thomas Towers. I live at 19518 Handy Road, 1.25 miles from this location. And I'm going to tell you a little secret.
Okay.
I don't care about who's the opposing side. I'm new here 2 years. I came from Kent Island. I lost a son to suicide, so I know all about this. But somebody has went around our neighborhood and scared every old lady and everybody to thinking these people are going to kill them. And I'm sorry, but they have the wrong opinion. I just had one of my neighbors walk up to me in the hall and tell me that they were going to gather from 150 miles away, convicts and everything. People believe this. You men make the decision, and every one of you probably have children. So you make what you think in your heart, not what all of us believe, because whatever we believe could be right or wrong. Yes, we could have somebody run away from the House of Hope and cause problems the first week. But if you don't give them a chance, you'll never know, because the youth of this country is going to run this country someday. You all won't be here, and they will be. Thank you.
All right, sir. Okay, yes, sir, in the red tie.
My name is Ed Cooling. I'm the pastor at Wesley United Methodist Church. I moved to the Bridgeville area 6 years ago, and I know firsthand what our youth face between the drugs, the sex, and all the other things that are going on. I know personally. Robin came to our church and spoke and shared the vision of House of Hope. And we had youth from our church and surrounding areas go to the altar and pray for her and pray for Shiloh House of Hope, because they knew how desperately it was needed in our area. In January, I got involved, and I taught the parenting class. We talked about anger. We talked about conflict resolution. We talked about setting boundaries. We talked about a lot of different issues each and every week. Yes, it's about the children, but I can tell you firsthand, I saw parents changed also. These parents were willing to do whatever they could to save their child. I am in favor of the House of Hope. And I just say that I know our community needs it. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You. forgive me for pointing, but I don't have any other way to do it.
I'll try, but I'm not always so good at speaking in public.
That's
anyway,
fine. Half these other people aren't either, so.
My name's Gary McQuaid. I live in town, Millsboro. And I'm one of the parents of this place. So.
Okay.
And I'm not going to bother going through the whole story and all the details, but all I want to say is I don't know too many people that are against having a church next door. Because we know what goes on there and the good things that happen. And I don't know too many people that are against a Christian school. Because same thing. They know things that can, good things that can happen there and what it has to offer to the community and to the people that go there. Same thing with Christian daycare. A lot of us, we don't know where to take our kids because who can you trust? Where are they going to be taken care of? What's going to be good for them? So Christian daycare, most everybody's for that. So why be closed-minded or want to deny us the same thing for counseling and guidance and healing and comfort and reuniting of families? That's all I have to say.
All right, sir. Thank you. This young man right here and then the lady back there with the... You know who you are. All right, young man, give us your name. And
I'm Justin Ryder, and I'm a resident of 2909 McDowell Road, Bridgeville, Delaware, the said site of Shiloh House of Hope.
You know that lady over there?
I sure do. I sure do, and I'm very proud of her. I don't have anything prepared, but I would like to say that when this was proposed, I was... very hesitant and wasn't really sure about what I thought about it. It's my own house. It's my own property. I kind of thought, you know, if they had anything against it, the students would I think, probably come right to our house. It's the closest building there. And I feel like as time has gone on as the constant incidences of God obviously working through this, I feel like this is meant to be, and I feel like that any concerns have been surpassed with facts and figures that this is very much needed. And I go to a public high school right here in Georgetown, Sussex Tech, and I can say that probably a quarter or more of the students there have had or are involved with some kind of drugs, sex, alcohol, or going to parties on weekends where they're involved in some things that they shouldn't be. And I know that the teens and the students there at Sussex Tech are, like many people have said, the future of this county, this state, and maybe even this country. And I feel like if they can get their lives straight, and if they can figure out where their lives are headed, they can be a much more valuable part of this community and this world as a whole. And I just feel like this is a really, really necessary measure that needs to be taken. And I think that as a family, we are totally in support of it. And so I don't see why there could be any other concerns other than that of a family living less than a half mile away from this facility. Thank you.
All right, young man. Actually, it was this lady here. Yeah, there you go. You.
Yep.
I had to stop myself three times from saying the lady with the big hair, but there I go. But it's beautiful hair.
A comment there.
I'm just jealous. Your name and address,
please.
Hi,
I'm Jana Allen Maddox, 10533 Old Furnace Road, Seaford, Delaware. And I'm a lifelong resident of that bench back there of Sussex County. My husband Chuck and I live in Seaford with our two teenage boys. My husband has been employed by the same company for over 25 years, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. We attend Messiah's Vineyard Church in Laurel and are a very close and loving family. We were shocked and heartbroken when over a year ago our 14-year-old son began making some very bad choices and became depressed. Since we have always been a close family, we recognized the changes in him right away and began seeking support. Despite our attempts to find appropriate resources to to help locally. We began searching the internet, checking into facilities located in Pennsylvania, Florida, Arizona, and Vermont. We believed that our son needed to remain close to his family and continue to receive all the unconditional love and compassion that we could give him. We just didn't know how. We didn't know how to reach him, and he'd shut us out. Finally, after what we considered to have been a series of miracles, we found Shiloh House of Hope. We entered the program in April of this year and have been amazed and blessed by all we have learned. Shiloh House is not a dumping ground for throwaway teens. Shiloh is not a place to take your child and leave them for someone else to fix. Shiloh is not a place for teens with parents that don't care enough or are not willing to invest the necessary time and energy required to guide their child back onto the right path. Shiloh House of Hope is a place where hurting teens and their families receive the helping hand that they need, where together as a family, they can experience the healing power of Jesus Christ, where teens are taught love and forgiveness and self-worth. Shiloh is a place where they're offered a promise of a new beginning. This is a place where parents join with other parents and counselors. We share experiences and heartaches, tears, victories, and most importantly, learn biblical coping skills and the power of prayer. Our family, through God's grace and loving, compassionate, and expert guidance of Shiloh House of Hope, is a success story. Our son has been given his second chance. There are so many teens in our area that would benefit beyond measure for the services offered by Shiloh House of Hope. These are not someone else's teens. They're mine and they're yours. The real crime is that we don't take time to visit a public school in Sussex County and look into the eyes of the depressed, hopeless, and oppressed teens who fill the hallways. The biggest threat to our homes and families is if we turn our backs on this opportunity to rescue our hurting teens. These teens need a safe place where they aren't condemned for mistakes they've made, where they're taught a better way, where they're shown that they have a hope and a future. I believe with all my heart that Shiloh House of Hope is this place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could I say one thing about somebody had a question about the PACE program.
Mm-hmm.
My son goes to Greenwood Mennonite School, mm-hmm. and he missed a year of school because he chose not to attend school last year, so he's repeating a grade, and he was way behind in math, and they have supplemented his work with PACEs, with the PACE program at Greenwood Mennonite.
Okay.
So,
all right. Let me thank you. This gentleman right here.
My name is Arthur Doakes, and I reside at 10841 Rifle Range Road in Bridgeville, which is less than 1/2 mile from Cedars Academy. I've resided there for the past 12 years. And in the 12 years that I've been there, I'm also a father of 4 daughters. I have no sons. By my loins, but I have many adopted sons through the work that I've been afforded the ability to do. In my 12 years of residing in Bridgeville on Rifle Range Road, I've never once seen the children or the residents of Cedar Academy come anywhere near my property. And they house dual diagnosed youth, those that have mental illnesses as well as substance abuse problems. Not once have I nor any of my neighbors ever complained about any of the children coming from that facility. Shiloh House of Hope will not house children with that severe type of issue on a regular basis. So therefore, to put to rest the legitimate concerns of neighbors of having unruly children in their area, defacing their property, causing a bad stigma, I could clearly say to that just won't happen. It has not happened in 12 years that I've been on Rifle Range Road. To give you a little background, I am an internationally certified substance abuse counselor. I work with individuals with severe mental illnesses, and many have abused drugs and alcohol the majority of their lives. The youngest that I've had in my tenure has been 9 years old, and the eldest about 74. So I can attest to the gentleman that came from Milford speaking on that. And what I would also like to say on behalf of my platinum beard-wearing constituent up there, that I too have worked in a very large juvenile detention center. I was a chief administrator of an inner-city program that housed over 120 youth. And these youth were in adjudicated status. We had a semi-lockdown facility. We were on the grounds of the old state hospital in Embryville, Pennsylvania. The residents there complained because a nearby facility, the Pennsylvania Consortium that housed severe sex offenders, were also on the grounds. In the 2 years that I was there, we've had 7 escapes, youth that got out. It was a 24-hour facility. Not one of those that got away, and there was a police station, state police, less than 150 yards away. Not one of those escapees ransacked, tore down, kidnapped, or abused any neighbor's property. And these were juvenile delinquents, and not one of them defaced the property in a very affluent neighborhood. The young people today that we're going to be servicing are coming from families of affluence and influence. Teenagers today that we consider that are underprivileged, they're not like the teenagers of yesterday. I, like you, Mr. Chairman, grew up in a neighborhood where we could let our doors open at night. We'd put our screen doors up. We would tell our neighbors to go across the street into our homes and get some sugar and bring it back while we were out. We were a very, very close-knit community. I grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania, and that's why I like Sussex County. I used to drive by all the time and see the sign in Bridgeville. If you lived here, you'd be home. And I'd say, what a stupid sign. Now I live in Bridgeville.
I'm home. Welcome home.
Now I'm home. And that's one of the good things at Shiloh House of Hope. It bears the name House only in name. But what you'll find there is it's more than just a house. It's a safe haven for children and their families. And as I said, the underprivileged are not those that are socially and economically deprived, those that are simply in families of single-parent homes and have been labeled juvenile delinquents. That's not so anymore. The underprivileged youth of today is one whose home has been interrupted and now is merely a house, where the communication of two-parent families that are working jobs and many multiple jobs don't get a chance to spend time with their children, and the children look to other means to satisfy that need of communication, means such as drugs, alcohol, illicit behaviors, promiscuity, and the likes, and yes, in some cases, vandalisms. But the majority of them are facing one simple lack, abandonment. And that is one of the things that the Shiloh House of Hope offers. It offers an answer to the abandonment feelings and issues that these children and their parents have encountered. I've been privileged to be a counselor at the Shiloh House of Hope. And I just want to address one of the issues here that was mentioned about the response in emergency situations. One of the first responses is going to be by those who are given care. I'm CPR and first aid qualified, and the majority of the counselors, when the residential facility is set up due to the state regulations and rules, will be CPR and first aid qualified to initiate that first line of life-saving techniques should that come about. You know, I very seriously doubt that we will see that, but we will be prepared for that. So hopefully that will put to ease that rest of that very serious and legitimate concern. Secondly, I want to look at us moving forward. You know, today is a historical day in our country. In 1825, George Stephenson led the first locomotive train in England. And that train carried passengers for the very first time. Shiloh House of Hope in Bridgeville will be the first of its kind in Delaware. And as you heard from Mr. Jackson, who is not from Delaware, he said, this is a close-knit community. Bridgeville, the sign itself bears the name, if you lived here, you'd be home. Shiloh House of Hope will be a pioneer in providing a home outside of home until that home can be restored. And that's what we do. And we pride ourselves on the ability to do that through the love and the compassion and strength that God has given us. Secondly, let me remind you of Mr. Samuel Adams, who was a renegade in his time, and also one that was responsible for the Stamp Act. And not only that, Mr. Adams was also a very instrumental part in the Boston Tea Party, and we're all familiar with that, those that really love history. But one of the things that Mr. Adams was most noted for is when he spoke, people listened. And I want to commend you for the over 180 moments that you've allowed us to be privileged to your audiological excellence. And with that, I would hope that the mere words that I've shared with you would pay appropriate homage to Mr. Adams, and that we would listen. Because when we listen, L-I-S-T-E-N, we learn incredible secrets to erase negativity. And for those that will be coming behind me to present a rebuttal on why the shallow house of hope should not be, they need merely just listen, and they would learn the incredible secrets to erase the negative thoughts, the negative innuendos that they've been over and abundantly dealt, and the negative consequences that they think might happen. What we do is we provide hope. We've been given hope. 40 years ago, I was told I would not be anything by a school teacher because of the color of my skin. I was told that I should find something else to do with my life, work with my hands. Well, I'm not good at mechanics, electronics, carpentry, masonry. Oh, I could do a little bit, just enough to repair my own. But what I've been blessed with is the ability to listen and to care. And I've taken that God-given ability and I've used it for over 35 years in helping people of all walks of life. And what I've found is that when you give what God has given you, you receive so much more in return. Some of the people that you've heard from Shiloh House of Hope, I've had the privilege and the esteemed pleasure of seeing them restored. And not only were they restored, but I was restored even the more for having been afforded the opportunity to give what I've been given. Miss Ryder has given of her land. You gentlemen have given of your time. Many of these other folks have given of their heart, their support, and so on and so forth. Miss Sturgeon, her many prayers and tears. I certainly think that the likes of Mr. Samuel Adams, if he were here today, would say, you know what, gentlemen? Let us contemplate our forefathers. Let us contemplate our forefathers and posterity. Contemplate our forefathers and posterity and resolve to maintain the rights bequeathed to us by the former for the sake of the latter. The latter would be the individuals that make up the Shiloh House of Hope, with your approval. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. One trip to a customer, sir. I'm sorry. Okay, who's next?
She's coming up.
Yep.
Or she leaving?
You leave? I thought she was getting up to speak. Anyone else want to speak in favor? Okay, we're going to take two more, and that's it. And we're going to take the little young lady in the yellow. Because I'm hoping you're going to tell us something different. You going to tell us something different? You going to try?
Yeah, I'll try.
Just promise me you'll try. And go ahead.
Okay. My name is Bethany Calloway. I live 18941 Atlanta Road, Bridgeville, Delaware, 2-3 miles away from Louis Ryder's house. I just want to say that I grew up with Louis Ryder and her kids, and she wouldn't put her kids in danger having these people there with her 10-year-old daughter. And
all right, you're doing good.
I would know of at least 20 people that could use Shiloh House of Hope through school, through church, and everything. I just want to let you know that I support this, and it won't change. Thank you.
All right then. Thank you. And the lady over here, okay? Yes, ma'am, you? No? Yeah, you. Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't know your names, and I can't, and there's so many of you, you know?
Thanks, Bethany. My name is Karen Willen. I live at 3272 Craft Road, right around the corner from Lori. And me and my husband and my daughter are in full support of the Shiloh House of Hope. I have been to the women's conferences and seen the girls that have gone through there. And when Lori told me that she was going to donate her land to this, I was very excited knowing that something like that was going to be around here. Because having a 10-year-old daughter, you never know what's going to happen in her life if she'll ever need a place like that. And I would hope that my neighbors would not turn their back on my daughter if she was seeking help. And also that the kids that have these problems, I would much rather them be going somewhere for help than to be sitting beside my child on the bus or in school. So we are in full support of this, and I just hope that you all have open hearts to what is said here tonight. Thank you.
Alrighty, we thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we've heard a lot of testimony in favor. If someone has something that is different from what we've heard, we'll be willing to listen. Otherwise, I would like to close the favorable testimony and give the opposition a chance to speak. And yes, ma'am, you're waving,
yes,
because you would like to speak in favor.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to tell us something different than what we've heard, or are you going to say something similar to what your peers have said?
Something different.
Okay, come on up.
First of all, I'd like to validate the...
First of all, your name is...
Yeah. My name is Sarah Betts. I live at 310 Carolyn Street, about 2 minutes from here.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to validate the curriculum. I used that curriculum for 8 years, and I now go to Delmarva Christian High School, and I don't mind telling you that I have above-average grades and that the curriculum is very sufficient. And also, I'd like to say that America is a very wealthy nation and is very blessed. But from my observation, America is also a very selfish nation. Even though you might say that we give the most money out of all the other countries, it's out of our abundance, and we're not willing to sacrifice for other people. And I just like to plead with the people here to be willing to give up their stuff for people. For my generation.
All right. Thank you. That was different. All right, then. Everyone has been extremely patient. We will be taking a head count for and against, but I'm going to wait until everyone's had a chance to speak. So if you leave during this testimony, you will not be counted. Opposition has been wonderfully patient, and we normally will start with any attorney that might be representing, and I believe Mr. Willard is here on behalf of a number of residents.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, I'm going to take off my jacket with your permission.
Well, sir, since I've taken mine off, I think
opposition.
You can pull your tie down too, because I have. In fact, I'm going to roll my sleeves up in a minute. So. And then I'm going to call Domino's after that. Good to be chairman.
And you're a good chairman.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay. All right, Mr. Willard, and I'm sure that those that are on the applicant of the applicant's favor are going to extend to you the same courtesy that you have extended to them. So have at it, sir.
Well, if they don't, I'm sure you'll
yell at them.
Yeah. I have, our presentation might not be quite as sophisticated as Mr. Christenberry, but I got a board here, and I only have one of them. One of my clients prepared, and it just shows, I'm not going to talk about other than let you know what it is right now. Okay. Where Lori's, Ms. Ryder's property is, House of Hope here, and these green labels are people that oppose it. Okay. I didn't put that together.
Okay.
I think Eileen Kraft did. Or
anyone that wants to get up and look at it, if you do it quietly, certainly not a problem, because I know it's hard for it's hard to see from where you're sitting.
Mr. Willard, is it your intention to make that part of the record?
Yes. I'm just going to put it up there to get it out of the way right now.
That's fine.
May refer to it. And let me just say, I mean, you don't often see me do opposition work. My clients, if you will, I've referred to a list on tab one of my book, and there's people that they've identified for me, of people that have hired me or want me to come in and help organize their opposition. There may very well be other people here who I say things that they agree to. Some of my clients might even want to say things but not be repetitive, same rules.
That's fine.
I think in spending some time preparing this and talking to my clients, who are mainly individuals that live by Ms. Ryder, I think I from the get-go should say that as a general rule, they speak highly of Ms. Ryder and Ms. Sargent, and I think as a general rule, they all are supportive of the goals of the Shiloh House, that is helping teenagers that have some problems. And that's the kind of people they are. I think it's my job to convince you that, number one, something you already know, this is a land use decision. And what we believe is the appropriate recommendation, that this kind of facility doesn't belong there. And our position is it doesn't not belong, it just doesn't belong there. I think my organization of presenting some of the reasons why I was going to follow my book, but you know, Mr. Christianberry and I have done a lot of work together and presented applications together. And I just, in hearing their presentation, some things occurred to me that I thought really don't make sense. To the compatibility of a use in a certain area, I think, Mr. Smith, you asked, is an important aspect of considering any land use decision. And this is clearly, I don't need to demonstrate, this project is designated for a very agricultural area, an area where there are a lot of farms. Mr. Christianberry says, well, this is what you've been approving all over the county, or where there are private schools. I submit to you that although this has an educational, a very important educational element to it, it's not a private school like the ones that are demonstrated for those land use decisions. It's much different. It's different because it has, 20. It's residential. Number one, the only residential school up there, I believe, is Cedar Academy, which is, you know, a mile out of town in Bridgeville. On the other side of the highway. All the other ones are day schools. It's a residential facility where they do criminal background checks on all the individuals. It's a residential facility where the individuals are referred that are genuinely in need because they have some serious problems, whether they deal with alcohol, sex abuse, occult, self-mutilation, suicide. That's distinguished from those. And, you know, it's a school and where follows the guides, I guess, of the National House of Hope. That's sort of the mothership, the one in Florida where we saw the lady talk about. And their purpose, they say, and this is in their material too, there are teens who are suffering from drugs, alcohol, occult, as well as sexual, mental, and emotional abuse in our community. Shiloh House of Hope is a safe haven where hurting teens are given hope in the future. This description of a residential community is different from all those private schools that where they've located, the Jefferson School, the Eagles Crest. It's more similar to schools like or facilities like the Seaford House. Although it's not a detention facility or correctional facility, as they say, we submit to you that it perhaps is closer to that, reference the security features they have, the alarms, the potential referrals from courts, and therefore it should be considered in areas where those kind of facilities are considered already. And that's for good reasons and reasons you've already heard. The reasons that are genuinely people concerned about, that is emergency response, fire, police. In my tab four, I believe it is, and again, it's not quite as slick as Mr. Christianberry's, but this is the county future land use map, and I've indicated on there different facilities that deal with youth. And you know the Stevenson House, which is a secure detention facility, is in Milford. The Seaford House is not depicted on here. Is if you don't know this, that's a residential treatment facility. They do have a contract with the state, I believe. They service about 20 individuals. Ms. Johnson, you're familiar with it. It's located next to the police department in Seaford. And that's an asset for a facility like that, quite frankly. It's a detriment for one that they're proposing. The Shiloh House, as you can see, it's a stone's throw from the Maryland line. We've got testimony that's about 7 miles from any town center and 7 miles from such services. You have work release and SCI, obviously, that are on the edge of town here. You have the Richard Allen School that's right in town here in Georgetown that I don't know that much about. I think it's a school that deals with some disciplinary.
Residential.
It's not residential. Yeah. So perhaps Cedar House is the closest. I've also learned of one, Silver Lake residential treatment, and that's next to Family Court up in that area in Dover, which is in an urban environment. We think, from what we've heard and what we've learned, that this program, being residential and who they take, and because of the things they've described, it should be considered more like one of those than like a Jefferson or Eagle Crest for those reasons. The area where they propose is in a low-density area. You still, when you consider conditional use, must take a look at your comprehensive plan. Your low-density guidelines for non-residential use will continue to be for agricultural-related uses, industrial uses that support or depend on agricultural fire products. This does not, and district-related services. We've all heard about the state strategies maps. When they work in our favor, we kind of talk about them. When they don't, we don't, because they don't have a lot of legal juice. But they're important as far as what the state thinks, where things should go. Level 1, level 2, 3, and 4. 4 being where this location is. I turned off the screen. I can't keep pointing. Which is pretty much out in the country. Agricultural use, low density. And level 4, if you read the description of what should go there, it doesn't include institution or schools. In fact, if you consider this an educational facility, the state says educational facilities should be located in level 2 areas. Locate school facilities on property owned by school districts contiguous to existing towns or where access to public water and sewer and other services are located. They even go so far in their level 3 to say they should not be located in level 3 areas. Level 2 being transitional areas, and it's in fact where we see some of these different kind of treatment facilities or residential facilities. You have my map of where the other ones are located. What this is a map of people who have written letters in opposition to this, and you can see the people that have spoken have given where their locations are. When you take a show of hands, I'm not sure if you'll be able to know that or calculate it unless you have them come up and say that. But the 20-some people I represent, and they're more in the opposition, you can see they're all around this area. And these are people that have lived in this area for many years, for generations, 200, 300 years. And it's pretty much stayed the same in that area, that is residential and farming communities. My tab 6 includes about 22 letters that I know Mr. Lank was struggling to get you all the letters. Those are ones that I've received from my clients. And I just want to highlight certain things that they say in certain letters. Obviously not read them all. Maybe this would help with later on not getting everybody standing up. Sandy Smith has written, she's the first letter in there, and she speaks very strongly of the history of this area, the generations of family, and I don't know if she's got a history background, but she has a lot of information about the families that have lived there, the Hastings for 300, the Brown for 300, the McDowells, 200, 300, the Reeds, the Crafts. This is an area that has a pretty significant family history of farming. She also speaks of the bountiful honey, the strong farming practice, good neighbor, safe neighborhood, parents. And this is a common theme throughout there. There's an elderly population that lives out there by themselves. And perhaps some of the comments we've heard today should sate their fears. However, their fear is something that exists and is real if they're alone and there's a facility out there where their children that have been abused or have alcohol problems, drug problems. You'll see quite a few letters from McDowell's, and a common theme from them and actually all the residents out there is the safety. This is an area that's hunted, not just idly hunted, but there are a lot of permits for eradicating population. So it's pretty intensely hunted. Do you want to put a school there, a residential community in the middle of that? It's probably inconsistent. Next to the property, I think there's a seed cleaning operation, an agricultural business, and I personally haven't seen that under operation. And I'm not sure that's a consistent use to have next to a school facility with the noise and dust. Excuse me one second. I was handed, I think, like this writer, or Mr. Christian Berry, several letters tonight, and I don't know if it's appropriate. We don't have a 72-hour rule, do we? But I'm going to hand you 19 letters. That's okay, Mr. Chairman?
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
And they're in opposition. I haven't read all of them, but I've scanned them. And a petition in opposition with 62 signatures to it.
Yep, addressed to the commission, not a problem. Anything else you've got? It's close enough.
And that
same, it's nothing substantive, right?
Yeah, well, also, the rule actually states that 72-hour rule applies to applicants, so that the opposition has a chance to see what the applicant's submitting. It doesn't work.
So it doesn't really apply to this anyway. Great.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever you got.
Well, I put my book in on Monday, and I
we're
sort
good.
Of learned that was the case.
Yeah, we're fine. Whatever else you got?
Opposition also speaks of traffic. This is a different use there that would generate some traffic. I assume they'd be shift work if they're night people at night. They didn't really speak of that. If you have 10 people on, they don't have the same 10 people 24 hours a day, so traffic is a concern. Other than the petitions and the letter of objections, you've also, if you've taken the time to look at my booklet, there's a tab 8 there. If you've read any reports of concern about a youth facility at a facility in Wolford, Maryland, and it's my understanding this facility began as a Christian private facility. Since that time, I don't want to say it went south, but the state has taken it over. And if you look at tab 8 of my booklet, you'll see reports from WBOC on that. You'll see April 4th reports of walkaways. They had approximately 5 escapes in 1 month. And the reason we bring that to your attention is twofold. One, these residents, that was news to them. As they learned about this project, and they compared it to what was going on in Wolford, they were similar to them, and they are similar. So I suggest that you take a look at those news reports. Mr. Stewart, you have a letter from, and I also can tell you to read that because it's pretty well written. He's lived in the area for over 20 years, has kids, has some of the same concerns. He's contacted a resident of the Wolford area, and that's one of the letters that was submitted to me tonight. And if I can just paraphrase a couple paragraphs.
Go ahead, please do.
He says, in a telephone conversation last night, you asked that I comment on the situation we have experienced in our area as a result of having a juvenile rehabilitation center in our neighborhood. First, let me give you some history. The center, Morningstar Academy, had originally been a church camp. In the early 80s, the realtor Charlie Powell applied for received zoning exception to operate the church camp as a rehabilitation center for juveniles who had drug and alcohol dependent and had already been treated but needed greater recovery time. The exception has not changed to this day, but the use has evolved like some terrible disease into the non-hardware secure facility operated by VisionQuest and housing medium-risk juveniles from state facilities who have indicated that they would cooperate with rehabilitation. In fact, our experience has been that these streetwise juveniles have scammed the system into believing they want rehabilitation and want to be in a position to be able to more easily escape restraint. The burden on the local law enforcement community and the nerves of the community cannot be overstated. We have had helicopters and dozens of law enforcement personnel searching for these juveniles runaway, and they have escaped. An episode this spring resulted in a home invasion and a car theft from a neighborhood. One juvenile was even spirited away from the facility by an employee who had fallen in love with a 6-foot, 200-pound child.
I have a little trouble hearing. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you get a little too far away from the microphone there, Mr. Willard.
The last sentence was just spoke of how one of the juveniles at this facility had escaped and you know, terrorized the neighborhood, if not in spirit. Actually, there was one invasion, and it started out as a similar facility. The when I tried to learn more about the Shiloh House of Hope, you know, we made some phone calls and tried to find out more about it. Miss Ryder and Miss Robin, you know, they were sharing their information and going on an outreach. What's interesting is some of the things they don't say. I mean, you have this mothership, if you will, the National House of Hope in Orlando, and you saw the officer with the founding lady, and her name escapes me. You know, and that's something else you wouldn't see in a private school where they're a police officer supporting this as a safe place. But, you know, and they speak of the 70 different schools. We've heard some different numbers that 8 are up and operating out of these 70, and there are 34. Clearly, the National House of Hope began in 94 and has been a success and a viable charity. What doesn't seem to have been a success is these affiliates. When we called the 34 or some, we got 2 that seemed to appear to be running, and that's not official or anything like that. But I think it's significant because these affiliates for an established House of Hope that's trying to purport this have not seemed to taken off. And, you know, obviously we wish Lori and Robin all the best and all these people that want to do things, but they need to be a little skeptical about what they're getting into. They sign an affiliate agreement, which is in your package. And the affiliate agreement is like a license agreement where it gives them certain material, as far as I can read, and obviously training and some good support to the extent the National House of Hope has been a success. It also requires, if you can see the addendum, that they send a voluntary portion of their unrestricted income to the National House of Hope. And if you read that addendum, you've probably seen it. It's for National House of Hope's use. I don't know if that could be zero or nothing, but the scheme is obviously have these affiliates send money back to the National House of Hope for their sole use. And I assume this is money they're raising. I don't have all the answers. This is just what I found from that. When I spoke to an individual representative of the National House of Hope, and you have the picture of it, there's the National House of Hope on the peninsula. That's in their material, too, as well as mine, my tab 8. They said they had escapes. They put up a wall, though they don't have a fence, and they do have escapes. They said also that they're referred from court systems. And I understand the difference between court-ordered and being referred. A judge, I was a prosecutor for 10 years, and I do defense work. I spent 5 years in the Family Court of the State of Delaware prosecuting juveniles, and it's not uncommon for a court to say where they might not have authority, but, and Mr. Johnson, you have a lot of information on this, they say as a condition of your probation, complete this, the House of Hope. They might not have a contract with them. You know, in Superior Court, they might say go to AA or something, where they don't have a contract. I got the impression, and again may be corrected, but that the National House of Hope, they get most of their people from the Florida court system, juvenile offenders. In the Shiloh House of Hope's material, and they indicate 2 things. One, that these individuals will not have criminal convictions within the next 2 years, but on their proposed conditions and in their proposed finding of facts, they will not have history of violent behavior. You know, for these people in this area, that's an important, what is that? A history of violent behavior. We could have faith in these individuals for that screening process, but we're not sure what that is, and, you know, I think the neighbors need to know if this is a non-secure facility. if and although it's not in their conditions, they want to maintain that they won't have criminal convictions. You know, juveniles are not convicted of violent offenses. They very rarely are. In fact, the very most serious ones become convicted when we treat them as adults. So technically, no juvenile is convicted in the state of Delaware of an offense. They're just adjudicated delinquent. If they mean conviction is adjudication, then they're just maybe limited to the violent felonies. Violent felonies in the state of Delaware are limited and defined, and I'm not sure if that's what they mean, but if you take away those violent felonies, there's still a large handful of pretty serious sexual offenses, arson, all kinds of violent felonies that we would think of violent that aren't statutorily violent. So this is a serious concern to the residents. What do they mean when they're not going to take these people? So we don't know about other places that are operating other than one, I think, in Dayton and the National House of Hope. What do we know about the National House of Hope? It's located in Orlando, Florida. It seems to have been a successful operation. If you turn to my tab 10 in my book, if you still have it or still have the strength to open it.
I have it right here, sir. 10. I got it.
But you'll see the front... And then I bring this to your attention because this is, you have to make a land use decision of where not the National House of Hope should look like, but where the Shiloh House of Hope should go. Where does it belong in your county? Okay? And this is a child of the National House of Hope. Where's it going to go? Well, if you look at the Orlando map, it's in downtown Orlando. Orlando's a big place. I've been to Disney World once, but I don't know my way around. But I've given you the overview of Orlando. And if you see the second page of tab 10, you'll see that the address is right off an interstate, Route 40. It's downtown. And if you see the House of Hope right there, it's the HH, which is, should be marked in your book, in that little peninsula. Mm-hmm. And it's on Lake Catherine, which is a small lake in the middle of town. And right across the street is the 33rd Street Jail, not unlike the Seaford House location. And if you turn to tab 11, you'll see a picture of the Seaford House Jail, the campus of it. You'll see Lake Catherine, and the House of Hope is right across the street. And you got an aerial view of what that neighborhood looks like. It's institutional and industrial. And really, that's consistent with your land use plan and your state strategies for what this is. And if you turn to tab 12, you'll see where they want to put it. And this is, you sort of know that. A lot of people here certainly know what that area looks like, but some of you live there up on the on the commission. But it's just farmland, rural, not much around. And it's our position that that's not the right place for it. And they have put together a pretty incredible effort here to start a really good thing. And, you know, I think probably over 50% of juveniles I dealt with in the court system needed something. They needed something. So I don't mind conceding that, and I don't think any of my clients have a problem with that, and they've gotten off to a good start. They're in Bridgeville, is my understanding. I don't know if they're renting a facility. They're obviously going on location to Delta Tech and different places too. And that's a great start. Ms. Ryder indicated that in her presentation that she had some problems in her life and some economic situations, and this seemed like a good idea. That's not a good reason to plop it in the middle of agriculture land. And from what we know about the leader of this, that is the National House of Hope, and if it's been a success, if they have some problems with Runa Bay, so be it. I don't think they should try to hide it as some private school that's just like any private school. It's not. It's very special, and it does a very special thing, and it should be in a very special place, consistent with things that can support it. And this is not it. They in one of their letters that I received. Oh, now I'm going to lose it. It's here somewhere. If you just give me a second.
Oh, go ahead. We got all night.
Well, in that case. No, it was a nice letter from the Mitchells, I guess, and they talked about how they had their child, maybe one of them, maybe they spoke tonight and I didn't pay attention to the name, but they said they've helped her with the outpatient counseling, and they say now 5 months later she's still exhibiting these good qualities. We feel the town of Bridgeville should invite Shiloh with open arms. That's where they are, that's where they recognize, and we think that's where they should build, okay? Because it doesn't belong there for all those practical reasons, traffic, hunting, safety, and there are places where it should go, and in fact, the state has demonstrated that with their plan. So I know some of the opposition who feel very strongly, and if you read these letters, you'll see words like, you know, that are pretty passionate. They probably have something to say. I'm hoping that some of what I said maybe will make their presentation a little more efficient.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. All right, sir. Who else would like to speak in opposition? All the way in the back with her red arm in the air.
I wasn't aware that the opposition was going to have a spokesman. My name is Doug Wilson. I'm from Seaford. I'm speaking as a representative of the state of Frank Wilson, who owns the property to the east and adjacent to the questionable property. We are opposed to the Shiloh House project at this location. For years, state and county and local governments have been trying to control development in environmentally sensitive areas. We feel this project is ill-conceived with little regard for its impact on the surrounding area. This is a land use, natural resource issue. A high-density project like this one is better located in an area serviced by a municipality with domestic water and sewage as to not affect local groundwater and runoff. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Willard, I didn't realize that Mr. Johnson wanted to ask you a question. You are not under any obligation to answer it if you don't want to, but he would like to ask you a couple questions.
I've never had that option before.
No, this is Mr. Willard. I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Were you done?
Wilson.
Oh, okay. Yeah, boy, it's late. Willard,
there's another one. I've never had the option not to answer.
Well, you know,
we
let you go, so...
You might not want to, Mr. Willard. I've just been having, a hard time seeing you on the flip side of arguing against developing a piece of ground instead of promoting a piece of ground, because I could take all your arguments, and maybe I will on your earlier presentation as to why we shouldn't do a subdivision, because you talk about the hunting, the ag business and the farming, and those are all reasons that you cite as this is not appropriate land use. But let me finish, please. But yet you do that with another parcel of ground where we talk about the opposition to your subdivisions come in and say, well, my family's lived next door for generations, or I hunt that ground, or I'm using it for farming. How's that different, sir?
It's very different. Because what was presented in the subdivision, I mean, I shouldn't say it's what we do as lawyers, you know. I can argue anything you want me to. That's why we have a bad rap, you know. It just depends how much you pay me. But that's not... That's not...
I think we may allow some applause on that one.
They don't know me well enough to get my sense of humor, but...
we do, and we appreciate it.
Well, very very simply, Mr. Johnson, what you saw was a 24-lot... I don't like the term by right, because I would think it'd be offensive if I was the commission. This is a by right subdivision, but you have denied subdivisions that have gone upstairs and turn come back, and they said, well, they actually did everything. Maybe not you, but so much municipalities.
Yeah.
So what we tried to do is present you with a decent design that met all the statutory requirements. And, you know, you do have some discretion to the extent that the state of Delaware, Sussex County, does not want subdivisions with 3/4 acre lots in an AR1. They need to change the law if they don't want them there. Or, you know, and that's the answer to that. In a conditional use application, and I think Mr. Smith started talking about, you know, what's the reason for it. And if you look at 151-171, that's your conditional use statute. This is an AR zone. I would, it gives you a lot of discretion. It gives you a lot of discretion. And the reason you have conditional uses is to take a public or semi-public thing, whether it's a water tower, and put it in an area where maybe it doesn't belong. They list all those conditional uses in an AR1 that should be considered. And I included that in my finding of facts, which I need to give you, that it's debatable whether this is even one. But that's a decision you'll have to make. There's a line item in there for institutions. If it is one, an institution, then you can consider it. It's not one that falls in the catch-all because that's for commercial. If it's not one, it doesn't even belong and the application's not appropriate. But if you want to consider it, then you have to consider it for the things that they ask for that it otherwise serves. I mean, if you read that paragraph, good luck to you, but it basically says if it's not incompatible and otherwise serves a use for the whole county that can't otherwise be served locally. And that's why in my proposed finding of facts, I said...
getting a little bit away from the microphone again there. Here we go.
And I'm trying to answer your question that I think you have broad discretion in something like this, and we don't think it belongs there. If you think they can make an application for a conditional use and they have a presumption that they've done so, then we rebut that presumption for all the reason we've stated. The most important is the comprehensive plan, the state strategies plan, points you in other directions, and the actual where you've put facilities like that demonstrates that they've gone in other areas. The language they talk about in your section 151-171, they say can be adjusted to areas close to municipal centers. We believe it can. Is not essential or desirable for general convenience and welfare at the proposed location. It can go elsewhere. It doesn't have to be there. This is the first place they've looked at. Will adversely affect residential farming community. Yeah, we believe it will. And they have an argument that it won't be noticed, but we believe it will. And can comply with the comprehensive plans at a different location. We believe it will. So my answer to you, Mr. Johnson, is that those issues, the ones that, like hunting and traffic and things like that, are very apropos for this application with the broad discretion you have and this location they've chosen.
I just want some points of clarification on that, and also I haven't made a decision one way or the other as to what my vote is, and I'm only one of five. But as you are well aware, and perhaps the audience is not, one of the things that we can do as a commission is put a number of stipulations and conditions on a conditional use that perhaps are far greater than we can on a rezoning of that matter. And I'll cite a recent motion that I made not too long ago that wasn't very popular, but it contained 39 conditions.
So, I understand, yeah.
So you may, you know, that's certainly, that's something that the commission can and in fact does on occasions to reassure that whatever we vote, that there's means by which the commission can try and reassure, you know, folks that, you know, things will not have an impact on a negative way on their situation.
I didn't address site plan that much. I mean, you all covered it with a lot of questions, but and also it may concede, I don't think, arguing in the alternative that, well, this does not belong here. And, well, if it does, this is what should happen, because we don't believe it belongs there. I mean, you know, if it goes there, we think it should have a pretty major fence and, you know, be treated as more of a secure facility. You know, if you have the alarms, what if alarm goes off? What happens then? You know, just should the elder people living around, what should they call the police, or should they rest assured that security's there and it's taken care of? There's just a lot of unknown answers that are more easily answered in a more transition area of the county. So I would, since I'm up here, I was going to call one of my clients, Eileen Kraft. Where's Eileen? She doesn't want to come up by now. I don't usually, for things like this, you know, call witnesses. She happens to live in the area, and she doesn't want to see this facility there. Perhaps she's
right to speak. She's welcome to speak. My goodness.
She's all, Eileen, let me ask you, do you live near this proposed
project? First of all, we need you to introduce yourself, please.
My name is Eileen Kraft, and I live 3361 Kraft Road in Bridgeville. And my backwoods backs up to the Ryder Farm.
Okay.
And
I'm going to let you go in a second, but let me ask you a couple questions. What do you do for a living?
I'm in real estate sales and have been since the late 70s.
Do you list and sell properties in this area?
Yes, I do.
Do you have an opinion as to what a residential treatment facility like the one that the applicant has described, how that would affect homes for sale, residential homes for sale, McDowell Road in that area?
Yes, it would certainly bring the, it would certainly devalue the property value of the a house or farmland. I hate to even say this because I feel like I've been in church. And we are Christians that live around Ryder Farm. Mm-hmm. We are not heathens. We do things for people, children as well as adults. We are just very concerned about what she has on her website, which says, these are teens who are suffering from drugs, alcohol, and occult, as well as sexual, mental, and emotional abuse. And we're just not used to that. And I don't believe it takes a village to raise a child. I think it takes parents. We have raised two boys, and we worked hard, just like everybody else does, to raise them in the right way. And yes, they are church-going people, as we are too. And most of the residents, you can see the green up here, all of those green tickets represent people that live in that area where Ryder Farm wants to put her Shiloh house. We're not against Shiloh house, but there should be area where it can go, where it wouldn't cause all these people to be unhappy and scared.
Somebody else's backyard.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Well, and like I said, I really feel bad because I am talking about money and devaluation of property after everybody's been here talking about God and church going and Christianity. But we feel this is a matter of zoning. It is not a matter of God. We do believe in God and Christianity.
Buddy, excuse me. Folks, quiet. This lady's got the floor, and let's let her finish. Please, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's all I had to say, but thank you very much.
Well, I will point this one thing out to you, is that there are not very many things that the Bible talks about more than money. So please don't feel bad about anything that you wish to say while you're up here, because you had the floor and you did a good job. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, who's next in opposition? Let's go over here with this lady right here. And then we'll go on this side.
Hi, my name's Diane Pestridge. And I live at 2413 McDowell Road in Bridgeville, Delaware.
Yes, ma'am.
I, as a young woman, was a school teacher, teaching elementary school in Baltimore City Schools, going in there adamantly believing that I could make a difference, not only in their education, but their development. Did it for many, many years. And as the years went by, you've seen the family structure falling apart. So did the children. I worked diligently to help these children in any way that I could. And I have to honestly say that most of us were unsuccessful. My husband and I raised two children. We lost two children, not through from illness. We lived in a nice community, quiet, a lot of older people, younger people raising families. And then all of a sudden, everything just started to go. Our church across the street from us allowed a group of people to come in with people that had problems. We were willing to, you know, we thought, well, that's a good thing. You know, everybody needs to help people. Well, they started stealing. And when they started stealing from the church, they threw them out. But when they were stealing from the neighbors, the church didn't want to hear about it. They stole, they threw beer cans on our lawns, several other things all over people's lawns. We went to work. We come home. Things that we had on our lawn that I had for many, many years that were very sentimental, they were gone. Then, as time went on, my husband would take our dog to walk over the field right across the road from where we were. It was a church. In the back of the church was a graveyard on one side and the ball field on the other. But God said that these kids was hanging across the road there. And when he walked over there to walk the dog, they threatened him constantly. Oh, come on over here, old man. We're going to beat your brains out. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It puts a fear into you, sir. It really does. And I don't like to live in fear. None of us do. So we had to sell our home. I had to move away from something that I really loved because these people took everything away from us and instilled a fear in us that we can't get rid of. We come down here. We bought this property in Bridgeville 10 years ago. Peaceful, quiet, nice people. And we've lived here for the last 2.5 years after we retired. Now all of a sudden this has cropped up. And here the fear is coming right back again, as it is with our neighbors. Let me say this. We're not against, as the lawyer had said, and other people said, and I'm not going to be redundant. We're not against helping anybody. But I think we deserve to live in peace, especially in our older years. Why should I have to be afraid to leave my home? Why should my neighbors be afraid to leave their home? We've invested all of our money and our life in it. I want to be able to sit outside in peace. I want to be able to ride up the road in peace and not be fearful. And this is what's going to happen. Already, it's already happening to us. And once they put this here, you're going to embed a fear in us that we won't be able to get rid of. Even if it's already starting. And if we put it there, believe me, these people haven't done anything wrong. We've abided by the law. But you're going to give us a fear that we won't be able to get rid of. And I don't think these older people, after all these years, should have to live like that. Thank you for listening to me and have a nice evening.
Yes, ma'am. You do the same. And somebody from over this way, all the way in the back, blue shirt. And you'll be next since you were kind enough to get up and I can see you and you're wearing a white blouse. Okay.
Two blue shirts coming.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you made it first. You're next, then you... Okay.
My name is Wendy Boyce. I live at 19369 Handy Road, Bridgeville, Delaware. I have 4 children. 2 of them are teenagers who have graduated from Sussex Tech.
Mm-hmm.
They both have chose the right paths, which I am very proud of.
How close to this are you? I'm sorry, I didn't catch
this. I'm probably about a half a mile to three quarters
okay.
of a mile
okay,
from there.
Yeah. Okay.
I moved from Baltimore down in 2000. Baltimore, I was out in the county area, has gotten really bad. I couldn't leave anything in the backyard. I bought a plastic swimming pool, and it was taken off my clothesline. I mean, $8 swimming pool somebody stole. There was no wind, nothing. I brought my kids down here because I've always come here to Delaware to spend my vacations for 2 weeks at a time. And it's always been a quiet area. It's always been a nice, peaceful area in Rehoboth, and we always said, you know, one day I want to move. So I finally moved down here in 2000 to raise my children down here in a peaceful environment, in a good environment. Anywhere you go, you're going to have sex, you're going to have drugs, you're going to have peer pressure, you're going to have anything with these kids. And in order for the children to understand, well, everybody has peer pressure. I had it, you had it, they have it, everybody has it. And in schools today, maybe it's a little harder for the kids to understand that, but I want a safe environment to where I can say my kids can go out in the front yard and play like they do now. And I can sit on the deck and I can watch them and I don't have to be standing near them. They can ride their bicycles up and down the front road now because we have very little traffic. And we can keep an eye on them right there sitting in the property. What I'm trying to say is I'm not against helping teenagers. I'm not against the house. I think it just should be moved somewhere else. I've also had a situation out there where the fire department had to come to my house when we first moved there, and it took them 15 minutes to get to the house. If our house actually would have been on fire, it would have been totally gone in 15 minutes. That's one of the situations that we had. Other than that, I just want everybody to feel safe out that area, and everybody should. They should be in their own rights, and everybody I think here feels the same way that's opposing it. But one of the main factors I did want to tell you was the fire department did take 15 minutes to come out to the house when we called in a fire. luckily, they did not find one. So.
Yeah.
All right. I thank you very much for your time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your time and your patience. All right, sir. You're next. And then the lady in white over here. And then we'll come back on this side.
That just takes me a minute or two.
That's no problem. We got all night.
That's the way we've been going. Been here all night, sir.
I think it's maybe Tuesday, but go ahead.
Yeah. My name's Walt McIntyre. I'm retired from military. I live at 3100 Craft Road. This rider property is about 3/4 mile, give or take a little bit from my house. First, helping these kids out, I think what they're doing is great. I'm a Christian myself. The church I used to attend to that's now dissolved, we helped a lot of folks. What I do have a problem with is conditional use property. I know a property in our neighborhood that was conditionally used, it's no longer being conditionally used, the property's been sold and being used for the purpose that it was originally conditionally allowed to be used for, which is living quarters for a person, elderly, need to be close to the family. Gentleman, I guess, passed away. Now the property's been sold, other people are living in there. This project here, we have no idea how it's going to go. What's going to happen to the property once these buildings are built? You guys are going to let them conditionally use it for a school, a church, a residence. Now I'm looking at these structures. These structures are nice little single-family homes. So what's going to happen? The Shiloh Farm Project gets off the ground. The buildings start getting built. Then next thing you know, oh, we don't care about it. You know, we're out of money. We can't do it. They do whatever they do to close up their organization, but yet the property has now been developed. It's got single-family dwellings on it, six of them, along with the administration offices, this rec facility, the church facility. What are you going to do? Allow them to start selling them off one by one or renting them out? I mean, it's already been stated that this project, if it fails, the property will return to the Ryder family. They get six single-family dwellings. A little bit of work going on, throw a kitchen, and boom. They're nice little setups. And I'm sorry, I don't want that in my neighborhood. I live out where I live at by choice. I live there because it's quiet. We have problems right now with kids and their mini bikes. Mr. Kraft and I have a tendency to get on them. Don't mind them riding their mini bikes. They're kids. They're going across the Maryland line to the pits. Go for it. Just go by respectful. They'll be on yin, 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 especially on a Sunday morning at 6 o'clock. I don't want to hear it. You know, if you like your driver's license, go by where I can't hear you. If you don't like your driver's license, wake me up because I will call the cops and I will press charges. Now, as far as my home is protected by me and Smith & Wesson. I don't care about these kids if they escape. They escape and break into my house, the morgue's going to be called next. That's going to be the
bottom
right,
that's
line.
That's enough.
No,
that's
because
enough.
The reason.
You're done.
No,
you're done.
One
sit
second,
down.
Real quick.
Sit.
It's because of the police
down.
Officers. It takes sit them
down.
Over 20 minutes to get out there.
Sit down.
Okay.
Thank you.
I
your testimony has been heard and taken.
Thank you.
All right, this lady is next.
Hi, Sandy Smith, Sandy Kiefer Smith.
Okay.
I did that map for a reason. To establish that there's second, third, and fourth generation families on farms. In my letter that I sent, it said that most of our families, and I'm just going to pick out some, the McDowell family that's here tonight, they have an elderly mother that lives on their farm and they live around her. My mother that's here tonight, my brother and I live around her. Let me back up. I used to live at 3254 Craft Road for 18 years. Mm-hmm. Recently, I built a home down on the opposite side of the road, 3049 Craft. I'm only half a mile from the Riders. And the Reed family, which is here tonight, they're over 300 years in their family, and their father and mother live on the farm, and they all built houses around their father and mother. The Hastings family, who has the seed operation, his father's 96 years old and had this operation, which is right across from the Ryder farm. Their granddaughter just built a home, a new home, right there. And I know you've heard enough of that, but it's to show that we are all old-time farmers, and we leave our equipment in the field. We don't lock our doors. We've never locked our doors. I don't lock my door right now. I'm only half a mile. I'm like 1,000 miles through the woods from this facility. Nobody is against the facility. The facility does good. I had three teenagers that I raised by myself after their father died. And believe me, they will put you through the ranks. Two of them especially. And that facility would have been great, you know. But out in the country is not the place where police take forever to get out there, and firemen and ambulance. But the point I'm making is we all built around our parents, so we didn't plop them in a nursing home. And that's what most people do nowadays. I grew up with the Ryder family. I went to school with the Ryder family, not Lori, but with her husband's family. I went to school with them. They're a good Christian family. The Dukes. I went to school with Sharon Dukes and her husband Wayne. They're a good Christian family. Robin comes from a great family. And what they're trying to do is terrific. My neighbor, Karen, I held her baby when it came home, and she said, I hope that my neighbors will do for my child. She knows I will. Because us neighbors out in that those two roads, McDowell Road and Craft Road, are very, very close. And this has just become a bar between all of us. But what I wanted to say is, you can't have, and in no offense, you cannot have one person make the decision for 50 other people that do not want it out there, that have lived there all their lives. That's what I wanted to say. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to this side all the way in the back, the red stripes.
Hello, Robert H. James, Jr. I'm building a house at 2987 McDowell Road, right next to the Lori Ryder Farm. I'm building that house. It should be done here in about 2 months. I'm building that house to raise a family in the same country setting that I grew up in. I lived in the area all my life. I want my kids to grow up in the country, hunt. I hunt that area, not only in the fall, but in the spring. I turkey hunt. I hunt so close to the field where that House of Hope is actually going to be. I can actually see the field from where I hunt. Accidents do happen. Accidents do happen. I recall my dad was in a deer stand, shot a deer in the field from a deer stand. My brother was all the way across the field, got hit with a piece of buckshot in his hand. So accidents do happen. I mean, it's about the safety of the kids and the staff members. I'm also a police officer with the Bridgeville Police. It does take a long time for the state police sometimes. I've been on traffic stops for 45 minutes waiting for backup. Sometimes you don't even get backup. It's hard. Most of the time, we'd probably be the first responders out there on McDowell Road. It's really not safe for the children. It's really not safe for the staff members. 48 teenagers out there, they're easily influenced by one another. They could get going on fighting. I mean, the staff members could not even be protected. I mean, I just want to throw that in there. Like I said, I just want to raise my kids. I want to be able to throw the football in the backyard, play catch without 48 other individuals yelling and screaming, playing basketball. I don't want that, and please vote against this. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, yes, ma'am, you.
Hi, my name is Mary Semler, and I live at on Handy Road, down near the end by the Maryland line.
Yes, ma'am.
We're new here. We have not been here or 300 years. My husband's retired.
People have been here 300 years.
Well, I mean their family farms. Their family farm. Well, they feel like it tonight.
I know. My family came in 1634. And, okay. You know, I've been here 50 years. So
we're the newbies on the block, but my husband is retired off the New Brunswick City Police Department in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
He did 2 years of research to come here to Handy Road.
Mm-hmm.
Statistics, crime, all the information, and now we're almost sorry if this comes. All that research is for no reason. And the only other thing I want to say is, I'm sorry you prefer 45 kids. I'd like to invite Miss Ryder to my house for a cup of coffee. I am a new neighbor.
Well, there you go.
And that's that.
Miss Ryder, consider yourself invited for coffee. Okay, you two work it out later on, okay? Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, all the way to back over here. Yeah, and then you. Okay. While this gentleman's making his way up here, I think there's one thing we've established this evening is there are good Christian people on both sides of this, okay? And I believe that and believed it before I ever walked in the room tonight. So we're all good in that regard. We're just having different thoughts. So go ahead, sir.
My name is Bill Stewart. I live at 2934 Craft Road, about 8/10 of a mile from the Ryder Farm. I wanted to finish the reading this letter that our attorney started from Mr. Carl Behrens, who is a retired U.S. Air Force colonel and a resident of Wolford, Maryland, and he talks about his experience with a troubled teen facility.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Willard got as far as explaining how the facility went from a Bible camp to a camp for children who had been on drug or alcohol and had already been treated but needed greater recovery time. So it was a sort of a medium-type camp as far as security goes. It was unfenced. That exception hasn't changed to this day, but the use of it has evolved like a terrible disease into a non-hardware secure facility operated by Vision Quest and housing medium-risk juveniles. The granting of any zoning change, amendment, or exception carries with it the public policy inclination to not revoke the higher use that has been granted so that it doesn't work a hardship on the owner. I understand that your situation involves a not-for-profit organization with, I am sure, the highest goals. Unfortunately, that reflects today's bid. What tomorrow brings when this organization shuts down, moves, or when the state finds it convenient or necessary to use this space for an overtaxed juvenile justice system remains to be seen. Personally, I think this is the essence of really the argument, our argument anyway. But before anyone says this couldn't happen here, I would caution them to be careful with their crystal ball. A zoning change or exception can take a life of its own, and never underestimate the greed of people who see a small gold mine in the harboring of juveniles with criminal records. Your community sounds like one that would be easy prey for escapees or walkaways, as they are called here. An older and retired population would be great hunting ground for these kids. The burden on law enforcement, community, and the nerves of the community cannot be overstated. We have had helicopters and dozens of law enforcement personnel searching for these juvenile runaways when they have escaped. An episode this spring resulted in a home invasion and a car theft from a neighbor, and one juvenile was even spirited away from a facility by an employee who had fallen in love with a 6-foot, 200-pound child. 13 to 18-year-olds these days who have survived the streets to land in the system are cunning and dangerous. So while you are now looking at what appears to be a very benign and charitable gesture and plan, I would strongly caution your decision makers that these types of facilities that in today's world need to be graphically isolated and hardware secure, if they are not, you're putting the community at risk that was there long before this plan. There certainly needs to be some place to house these juveniles, but it needs to be well thought out and many safeguards need to be in place to protect the community. Of course, the further from any community or the closer to a law enforcement facility, the better. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you.